Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you all here this morning. We all please stand as we open up with worship. You know, we're all here to not only worship God this morning, but also to hear His Word. So let's start out this morning with a song called Here I Am to Worship. Yeah, I have to wait on my piano player, so I'm just going to ad-lib here a little bit. Did you guys do anything fun this week? Weather was nice. I washed my car. Cleaned out the inside. All right. So y'all ready to worship a little bit this morning? Here I am to worship. Especially the word that Richie has for us this morning, God. I pray that you will be with us in this service this morning, God. Speak mightily through him with the power of your word, God, that you might change us into what you want us to be. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. So far, we've collected $171.40 for the Olacock State Mission Offering. Other states in the area also have state mission offerings named for different people. For example, in Kentucky, it's called the Eliza Broaddus Offering for State Missions. And in Ohio, it's the Ray Roberts Offering for State Missions. But today, I wanted to tell you why our offering is called the Olacock State Offering. Olacock was born on December 19, 1912, in Little Rock, Arkansas. She accepted Christ as her Savior at a young age and became a leader in youth activities. She met her husband, Elmo Cox, at church, and they were married on July 3, 1934, and they had two sons. They moved to Charleston, West Virginia in 1964, and she fell in love with the state of West Virginia. She taught women's Sunday school class, worked in other church programs at Highland Avenue Baptist Church. She volunteered as state women's missionary union director beginning in 1966 and prepared the first program for State Missions Week of Prayer. She helped in organizing the state WMU and new WMUs in local churches. Her work earned her the rare honor of having the West Virginia State Mission Offering named for her in November 1973, less than 10 years after having moved to West Virginia. She became paralyzed by cancer in July 1972 and spent 28 months in the hospital until her death on November 27, 1974. But from 1972 to 1973, she continued to serve as WMU director from her hospital bed. Her outlook on life can be summed up by the statement she made at the formation of the West Virginia Women's Missionary Union. "We are anxious to be in the will of God in all we do. We only want to do what cannot be explained except by the power of the Holy Spirit." So I ask that you please pray, ask the Lord what he would have you give, and also pray for our state convention. Pray for our West Virginia missionaries who are here within the state and also in other places around the country and around the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. We all please stand and we continue with worship this morning.
Thank you.
talked a little bit about this song in our praise team this morning. The song we're going to sing is Breathe. And I love this song for a lot of reasons, but one reason I love this song is it actually came out of a worship session with Marie Barrett with some of her friends singing another song. And she said the Holy Spirit just impressed these words upon her and she started to sing them. This is the air I breathe. This is my daily bread. Your holy presence in me. And I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. And I think that's a great song for us this morning. We need to be desperate for God. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this day, for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. God, we thank you for this opportunity we have that once again we can come before your throne, that we can seek you, that we can run to you. that, Lord, we can step back and truly be just desperate for you. God, there's so many things going on in our world right now, so many things that all of us are going through, the highs and lows and everything in between. And Lord, we know that we need to be desperate for you today. So as we come before your word, as we come before your throne, I pray, Lord, that we silence the chaos of the world, that we silence our fears and our stress, and we just put it all aside for just a few minutes as we run to you. God, that I pray that your Holy Spirit can rain down on this place, that we can all be focused solely on you and your word and your will for our lives. God, I pray that not only your Spirit rain down on this place, on the congregation, but Lord, that your Spirit works through me, that Lord, you speak through me. Lord, if these are my words, I pray that you silence my lips, that you rise up the man that you've called to speak these today. But Lord, I pray that your word be spoken to the people, that it be spoken to me, that Lord, we can be desperate for you, that we can seek you, that as we hunger for you, Lord, that you fill us up. Lord, I pray for this place today, and it's in your great and most wonderful name we pray. Amen. You all may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you all have had a wonderful week. Good. It's hard sometimes, right? Last week, if you remember, I talked about the tough stuff. I talked about how tough times can rock you. They can try you, and honestly, they can really take you down to the very core of everything you are. We talked about, well, I got the points up here in a second. We talked about how you're not alone, how the church is a community, and how there is an end. And we talked about these things because the tough times are difficult, and to be honest, we sometimes can't get out of the tough times. We get stuck on the tough times because, let's just be real honest about it, they're tough. There's no other way. But I also provided some advice. I offered some ways to help get through the tough times. These three things I mentioned were leaning on the Lord, we're pursuing passions, and communicating within the community. And I shared these things with you all because, to be honest, I was going through a tough week previously. And I know a lot of you were going through some tough weeks. And I'm going to be really truthful to tell you, I get stuck on the tough times sometimes. And I mean, I get really stuck on those tough times because you kind of get dwelling in it. Well, in praying about that, in preparing for preaching again, I thought it only proper to talk about the good times as well. Because though there are dark moments, and though we have these moments where we get stuck and we're asking God why, right? We're literally asking God to take situations out of our hands, or to take these circumstances we're going through and to get us through them. Or sometimes we even ask God to strike down a certain person, and prayerfully, that's not the week you've had. But sometimes we go through that in those tough times. But what happens in the good times? Usually God doesn't strike down the person I pray for him to strike down. That's not usually an effective approach, for the record, everyone. But I'm just being real, because there are days where many of us out there feel that way. So what do we do in the midst of good times? What happens when we're going through just a normal time of life, when it's just another day? What happens when things are good and there's nothing terrible going on? Or you had an amazing week or an amazing day, or or maybe it was just a normal day. It was bland. So what do we do, or how do we go through these good times, is what I want to share with you today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Psalm chapter 113. And Leslie's going to have it on the screen here for us. It goes like this. Hallelujah. Give praise, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed, both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is exalted above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the trash heap, in order to seat them with the nobles of his people. He gives the childless woman a household, making her the joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. Amen is right. Look, David, he's praising God here, right? He's excited. He writes multitudes of poems and songs, and I'm going to be very honest with you, as somebody who's used to more modern music, I know it kind of sounds weird saying that they're poems and they're songs, because there's no rhyming at the end, right? And that's what we feel like poems and songs should do, but these are the poems and songs that David wrote. And I got to be honest, he's giving glory to God and praising him through all the things that he goes through. David, when he writes these, he's not just saying, God, woe is me. And mind you, there are some songs and some that he writes, some poems that he writes where he's saying, God, this is terrible, what's going on. But he also writes about the good things too. Here in Psalm 113, he's trying to remind us about God being exalted above all. How he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and how he's so powerful that he looks down onto us, right? And he lifts us up. He's so powerful that he can heal the hurt. He can bring those who are of nothing and bring them into a place of power, a place of importance. He's a loving and powerful God who deserves our praise. Which is where I want to talk about today. I want to talk about things to remember in the good times. And point number one is that we need to remember to praise God. Now, I know that seems kind of obvious, right? It sounds obvious to sit here and tell you all, a body of believers, that we should praise God in the good times. But much like last week, where I reminded you that we need to lean on God in the tough times, we also have to remember to praise God in the good times too. Oxford Dictionary definition of praise is to express warm approval or admiration of. Now, biblically speaking, this is acknowledging what God has done in our lives. Now, usually when I think of praising God, my immediate thought comes to singing. It does, because I've been around for a long time, and I've hung out with Mike a lot over the years in being part of the praise band, and so songs tend to be my first immediate thought when it comes to singing praises for God, right? And one song that I hold especially dear to me is a song by Matt Redman, which is called Blessed Be Your Name. Now, I'm not going to sing it for you guys. Please, I don't want to torture you in such a way. I saw Matt starting to, like, shake there. Don't worry. I'm not going to do that to you. But I am going to read you what the lyrics of the song say here. It goes like this. It says, blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in this desert place. And though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. Even when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I'm going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun is shining down on me and when the world is all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, and though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away, but my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. See, I find a lot of passion with this specific song, mostly because it literally goes through the good and the bad, right? And when you look at this song, there are good things and there are bad things that happen in life, and we sing about them both, right? We sing about those good times that we had when everything's going just as it should go, right? But we also sing about when we're down and stuck, when we're in the darkness, when we're in the desert place, and we're walking through the wilderness, we're still singing, blessed be your name. That's that song, right? But how often are we truly singing that? How often are we singing with our lives, or how often are we doing more than that, right? Because praise isn't just music. Sorry, Mike, not discounting what you do, boss. Right? But praise isn't just music. It's also praising God with our lives or by talking about the great things that God's done for us, right? See, this is where things get kind of more serious to me. See, I get kind of stuck in those tough moments because they feel so real. They feel so painful. And those hurt feelings, they kind of stick around for a little while. We get caught in the darkness. So let me share a little praise. Just a little one, right? See, because 11 years ago, Cynthia and I were told we couldn't have children. Most of you guys were around, or some of you guys are around for that, but in those moments, it was a devastating time for us to be told we couldn't have children, something that we desperately wanted. And at the time, serving in ministry for many years at this point already, we were confused at why God would allow this to happen to us. And the truth being that we didn't understand, because we felt like we were doing everything the way we were supposed to do it. We felt like we were being faithful and we were serving and we were giving our lives to God, and yet this one thing that we wanted, we couldn't have. It was painful. It was a dark time. And then God had a different plan. And this week, Lana will celebrate her 10th birthday. Right? And then there are two other monkeys over there that are sitting around playing at the moment that I could talk about the great blessings that God has provided. And even though God provided a blessing, don't misunderstand. There were tough times with raising children. That first year, although Cynthia will tell me it was only 6 months or so, that first year was really rough. Because Lana, as everybody in the preschool department knows, didn't stop crying. And Donna, to this day, will still say that there were some rough moments in the preschool department for a little while back there. At least until they learned that she likes cookies. Isn't that right, Lana? See, the thing is, it was still hard. Even though there was a blessing there, there were still tough times to go through. But God provided a blessing to us. He took us through that, and I knew that He would keep providing, and He would keep strengthening us. Amazingly enough, after three children, Cynthia and I have learned a lot about raising children. We've learned that you don't really know anything about raising children until you have at least one child. And then you don't learn anything about that second child because you know they're all different. Right? See, the thing is, though, in all of that, in all of the chaos and the dark times, we kept our eyes on the Lord. We kept praising God. And the thing is, even to this day, we give him praise for the blessings that we have out of those three children. Now, I know you're, listen, that's only one circumstance, right? That's only one time that God has provided for me. We don't have time to go over every blessing and every praise that God's done in all of our lives, because we could sit here for hours. But the truth is, church, we need to share those blessings. We need to share those praises to God, because sometimes that encouragement is what somebody else needs. Listen, I didn't grow up here, and so I didn't, when I moved out here, I kind of felt like I wouldn't really belong right off the bat. And listen, I heard a lot of stuff about West Virginia. I didn't know how things were going to go when I first moved out here, okay? You know, you just don't really know. I heard stuff about shoes and teeth, and I just wasn't sure if I was supposed to wear shoes in the church or not wear shoes in the church. I didn't know. But the thing is, when I came out here, I was scared. I was 18. I moved away from everything I learned, everything I knew, and I came to a church where there was a lot of people in a new state who had a little bit of a different accent than I was used to. Nobody says y'all out here at all. I didn't know what to do. But I found a family in you all. And you guys have dealt with me through every good and every bad. Some of you more than others. Some of you still deal with me on a regular basis and are stuck with me. Sorry, Dad. But the thing is, you guys have taken me in, and you've made me one of your own, whether you liked it or not. And you've treated me like family, and that is a blessing that many of you guys don't even understand, because you were just doing what you felt called to do. I lost my mother. I lost my grandmother. I've lost family members back in Arizona that I don't have maybe the best relationship with, but death still hurts. And what most of you guys don't even know is that you all filled those voids in my lives. You guys stepped up in ways that you can't even imagine. And most of you, it wasn't that you were trying to do anything special. You were just doing what God's called you to do. See, the thing is, I have to give praise to how great our God is, because he provided family in the most strange of places, right? And he does that. Listen, you have everything you could possibly imagine within the church. And the praising, it doesn't end there. Now, why? Why do I talk about these praises? Why do I bring up these things that I've dealt with? Well, it's because I know that there are others who have gone through tough times or who are going through tough times that need to hear that there are praises to be sung and there are praises to be shared. In James chapter 5, it says this in verse 13. It says, if any one of you is suffering, he should pray. If anyone is cheerful, he should sing praises. I feel like there's a caveat that should be said. If you can't sing, you don't have to sing praises. You could just say praises. That's okay too. All right? But the thing is, we need to share when we're going through good times as well as when we're going through bad. And I think we forget that sometimes. We get stuck in the bad. We get stuck in the darkness. And there's this old saying that says misery loves company, and the truth is it does. It's easy to go through all of the terrible things that are going on or all the wrong that's going on and to sit and complain and complain and complain. But church, when you're going through a good time, how about praising God for who he is and what he's done? How about praising God for that moment you didn't realize you needed? Because no matter what season it is that we're going through, we should be leaning on Him and praising Him with our lives. Second thing I want you guys to remember or to think about during good times is that we need to serve God. Listen, it's easy during the tough times to say, well, I'm out. I don't want to play anymore. Or to take your ball and go home. But it's also easy during the good times to, well, not want to give your everything. To just kind of show up. Or, I don't know, maybe you're giving God everything already. Maybe during your good times, you're good. But it's not just what you're doing here at the church when it comes to serving God, right? It's not just about, did you show up at the community breakfast to help serve others? It's not just, did you serve during vacation Bible school or in your Wednesday night or Sunday night class that you're teaching? It's not just about singing. It's also about us sacrificing for the Lord. All right, now, I know. I'm not trying to go over the entirety of the tough times sermon, so don't get too excited. We're not going to go over all of the difficulties that we could be going through. But when it comes to sacrificing, when we serve God, there's a sacrifice that comes into a part of that. We have to remember that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and everyone else. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It starts off like this. It says, calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. Verse 36, for what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. Listen, even through good times, when everything is great, we need to still be serving God. We need to be focused on Him, not focused just on us. And the truth is, when we're focused on everyone else, it means we're sacrificing. It means that maybe instead of you getting to watch that show you really wanted, that you call that friend or that church member, that brother or sister who you just want to check on them. Because maybe they had a rough week and you know that. It means that maybe you end up giving up your morning coffee to be able to help support missions. It means that maybe you're giving up your time, your effort, your energy, or whatever it is, to put effort, energy, money into someone else. Here's the thing. Even in good times, especially in good times, we should be serving God. And that means that in good times, we are going to be sacrificing for the Lord. We're going to be sacrificing for the Lord, and when we're sacrificing for Him, that means we're probably sacrificing for others as well. It means that we are not the sole priority. It's not all about I, me, my, but about you and everyone else and Him. Listen, when we're in these good times, we need to be looking at how we can support others and help others, how we can lift one another up. And anytime that you're not focusing on yourself, you're going to sacrifice. It may not always feel good. It probably is going to hurt. Because the truth is, when you're working with other people, when you're serving with other people, sometimes they step on your feet. Listen, sometimes we step on one another's feet even when we're doing good together. We said it in Sunday school this morning, in our Sunday school class, in the Dudes and Donuts class, there happens to be a lot of very large personalities in that room. I may or may not be one of them. My personality might offend some people sometimes. Usually it's geared towards Jason. Sorry, sir. But Jason knows how much I love him. Jason knows that I'd do anything for him, and I know the same of Jason as well. Jason knows that if he calls me and says, hey, I want somebody to go riding with, I'm going to go, sure, all right, let's go. If he calls me and he says, I need help with a project, I'm going to go, I have no idea how to help you, but I'll do whatever I can. He's smarter to call other people who actually are useful with projects, but as much as I enjoy and love getting to pick on Jason, it goes both ways. And we have that bond and we have that friendship. Sometimes when it comes to sacrificing, when it comes to serving the Lord, the sacrifice that occurs is that we're giving up stuff we don't necessarily realize. But when we're giving up for others, God continues to provide. He continues to bless. There is an entire sermon that can be spoken there about tithing and about giving up your time and effort and energy for the church. And while it's important for you all to understand those things, that's not where we're going today. But the truth is, church, when it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to serving the Lord, the sacrifice that we have in our lives should be us sacrificing for everyone and anyone we possibly can. The last thing that I want you to remember about the good times is that we need to share God. Listen, good times are great. When everything's going your way, when it's not even going bad, it's awesome. Anything's better than the tough times, right? But we need to be sharing God, especially in the good times. See, the thing is, when we're going through those good times or those okay times, we need to be sharing God because the truth is, we don't know when the end is coming. There are some theologians who believe that it's close. I don't know. I'm not a end times theologian. To be honest, I'm not an end times expert. I can't tell you. When I have end times questions, I go to Steve. Everybody should go to Steve for questions. Got you, buddy. But what I can tell you is true is this. One way or the other, the end is going to be here. And my friends, if you're going through a good time and you're not sharing God's love with those around you, what happens in the bad time? When you're mad at God, when you're angry, or when you're struggling and you're crying out for Him and you feel like the world is against you, you're having a harder time then to share God's love, to share God's word. So my friends, what I'm telling you is that especially in the good times, we need to be making sure we're making it a priority to share His love, that we're sharing God, because we don't know what is going to happen. Romans 8:18 says this, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." And then Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices." See, the thing is, we have to remember that no matter what we're going through in the present moment, whether you're in those really tough times or whether you're in the greatest moments of your life, nothing can compare to the glory when God reveals himself to us. Nothing can compare to heaven. Listen, it doesn't matter how good it is right now. You could have got married yesterday, and it's still going to be way better in heaven. You could have hit the lottery, your own set of problems, I know. You could have hit the lottery, have all the money you possibly want, and still it's going to be better in heaven. Everything could be perfect in every way. You could have all of the things you want. All of the people did exactly as you told them to do. Everybody follows your every command, and still it is going to be better in heaven. God loves you. He cares for you no matter what you're going through. So here's the thing. Why aren't we sharing his love? Why aren't we sharing the good news? Why aren't we sharing how amazing our God is? I think that that's a question that will get answered for each one of us in the end times. And we'll all have to answer to God at some point in our own ways in terms of why we do not or why we do share his love. But what I want to encourage you all with is this. We have to stop neglecting to do what is good. We have to start sharing his love. We have to start sharing God's word and sharing the message that he's given us. We've got to start serving God and sacrificing where we need to sacrifice. And most of all, we need to praise him. You see, these were just some things in the good times. And I know a lot of you aren't going through those times right now. I know it's not a great time for every single person in this room. And to be honest, everybody's got their own set of issues to the point that I know we're all struggling with different things. I say that because I've talked with many of you, and I know there's some crazy weeks you all have had. So this is what I want to share as well. See, the thing is, no matter what your week was, no matter what your month has been, to be honest, it doesn't matter how your life has been. God loves you no matter what. He loves you not because you've done some amazing thing, but because he loves his people. He loves you despite all of those terrible things you've done. And don't get me wrong. Listen, I know Larry used to say he's the worst of sinners because he did all these terrible things. And your list may be big too, and maybe my list is bigger than yours, but to be honest with you, it doesn't really matter what you've done or what your past is. It doesn't matter whether you have killed 100 people or whether you're the biggest liar in the room. God still loves you. Your sins still separated you from God regardless. The priority here is that God loves you no matter what. He doesn't love you once you get your life cleaned up. He doesn't love you once you fix it all and made amends with every person. God loves you ahead of that all. Because the honest truth is, we're still all working at it. Church, I got to tell you, I am not perfect. Okay? I still screw up plenty of times. Honestly, it hurts when I do, because I know I let my brothers and sisters down. This week, I had a brother call me in a time of need, and I let him down. I missed his call. All right? I still fail, just like you all do. We all fall short. We all mess up. We all have tough times, bad times, or even times where we just slip. And yet, God still loves you. God still loves you despite all of those things that you've done. He cares for you. He wants you to follow him. So the thing is, church, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you had the best week of your life. Maybe you had the worst. But I know that no matter the situation, that God is always going to love you, that he wants you to run after him. Through the good times and the tough times too. What I find to be true is that no matter what the circumstance, the things to remember go both ways, in the good and the bad. And just like the song, whether you're walking through the valley or whether you're in the greatest of times, whether everything is flowing abundantly, we want to shout his name and sing that blessed be his name. So churches, I ask the praise band to come forward. I want to close and end with this. I want to send you out with this one last thing. Through the good times and bad, I pray you lean on the Lord, that you serve the Lord, that you praise the Lord, that you communicate with the community, but most of all, I pray that you share his love. Because when we share, when we praise him, we can reach the others around us, both inside and out. As we close in a word of prayer, we're going to open up the altar. Listen, if you need to pray, if you're going through something right now, I want to be here for you. I want to pray for you. And there are other brothers and sisters that they'll come up and they'll pray for you too. And if you're not, if you're going through a great time, then I pray that you pray for your brothers and sisters out there, because there are some who aren't. That you find that moment to just give whoever's on your heart to God, because they obviously need him. So I pray that that is our call today, that you remember to share and save. Let's pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we ask that you, that in all things, that we seek you, that we run to you, but I also ask, God, that in all things, that you just remind us of your great love. God, that you can just remind us that no matter how terrible we think we are, that, Lord, you love us regardless. God, I pray that you guide us, teach us today, and it's in your great name we pray. And all God's people said.
Thank you, Richard. Will you all please stand with us? Oh.
you can send out for Hoosier One for the concert coming up on October the 15th at 6 o'clock. See Leslie in the back behind the computer screen. She'll be happy to give you postcards. And if I look over here, we had 200, looks like we've got 195 tickets left. So I'm about to come a few on the way out.
And then we have one other announcement.
Yeah, just we are in need of a farm sitter so we can get away and get a break. So if somebody's interested in doing that, it's going to be sometime in February. Please see us. All of our animals are nice. It boils down to the dogs more than the cows. So if you're interested in doing that for us, please see me or my wife. Thank you.
As you go this week, go out. Praise his great name. Amen.
Amen. Lord.